This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
Lilo moved her hips eagerly to receive the penetration.
Not eagerly.
Eager to receive the penetration, Nami moved her fingers in and out as a bit of leftover cum leaked from the tight hole. This whole thing was wrong.
No shit!
Oh, really? Oh, sorry. Hang on. Oh, shit. I didn't know that. Oh. My plans are ruined.
Live from Steve-O's basement, it's Friday Night Fan Fiction, the online internet game show where everybody wins and everybody loses. Tonight we have some of the most unsavory fan-written fiction imaginable being read by our wonderfully selected candidates, the contestants. Our talented staff, the referee, will be watching them with eagle ears to make sure they maintain their composure or die trying. Did I say die? I meant to say drink. It's wacky. It's outrageous. It's America's favorite pastime next to football, baseball, basketball, NASCAR, and poker. It's Friday Night Fan Fiction.
And it's super cartoonishly racist, but in a super fun way.
Oh, so it's the
thing I've seen some of it being
like you play as a big damn American hero.
It's the Japanese. It's the Japanese licensed game for Jappy.
Believe it or not, it's fanfiction time. I never thought I could get this hard. Coming away on Tentacle Brides.
Oh, thank you. That was touching. I am. Wow.
This is Friday Night Fanfiction. Joining us, special guests tonight are Trench and Tony, of which we only have Trench right now.
Indeed, I am
half.
Playing the part of Tony tonight will be Sir Splee.
No, Tony will be here. He'll be here late. We're actually missing Logan tonight as well. So, David.
Playing the part of Logan will be Sir Splee.
Yes, thank you. Playing the part of Tony will be dead air until he shows up.
Yep. Anyway.
No, Val is going to be playing Tony. David's going to be playing Val. I'll play David and myself because it's easy. I can just be pissed off at myself all the time. And then Steve will be playing the role of Steve because he's boring.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's me in a nutshell. That's me in
I've got the understudy list all sorted out.
Oh, I feel like this has gotten really convoluted and confusing on who's who.
Well, we actually haven't gotten that far yet. This is a slow start for us.
Roy just has everything thought out, pretty much.
We've got three fans.
Oh, and we need to refer to Trench as Bellator, since that is his far superior character.
I want to be Muskrat. I want to be Muskrat Susie.
You didn't tell me there would be three.
There's three.
Yeah, God damn it.
This is what we call an open casting call. You're being casted, and not like porn casting, but, you know, casted.
Casting for Nighthorse.
Yes, Nighthorse is a legitimate pornographic empire now.
The Nighthorse couch.
The eyes have it, and the eyes, meaning Trench, have decided that we're going to start with some Lilo and Stitch fan crap.
Fan fiction, but before we begin, of course, let's remind everyone that this podcast is rated M for mature.
Why?
You can't just say that you're over 18, and that's how Mr. Polanski got himself in trouble.
Oh, that's bad. That's really
bad. If I disappear at any point, I'll probably be retching in the corner. Okay,
tonight, we are beginning with a bone to pick, a Lilo and Stitch fanfiction by whoever the author is. Okay, it's by X, the actual letter X, Treme Plaga.
I could be watching Better Call Saul tonight, and instead I'm doing this shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're both Academy Award nominated shows.
Yeah.
The fact that I can say that with a straight face has shown that I have no soul left after being part of the show. Trench, would you like to start us off with a bone to pick?
Should I?
The answer is no, but he will.
Yeah. Oh, God. Probably can't help me now.
Also, we should probably, before you go insane, pimp your show, check out Trench and Tony, who live stream every Thursday or some other day of the week.
Yeah, we try to keep it to Thursdays, but it's all up to Tony's work schedule, so...
Check out this website called nerdyshow.com. Trench is a staff member or something on it. I don't know. It's they could really use your support. It's pretty small time website. I don't know if you heard of them.
Trench is to nerdyshow.com what Jeff Gordon's tire changing assistant is to NASCAR.
That is uncomfortably accurate. Disclaimer. I do not own Lilo and Stitch, nor any of the characters from it. I do not make any money from the writing of this story. A Bone to Pick by Extreme Plaga. Disclaimer, Lilo and Stitch is a Disney franchise. No money is earned through the writing of this story. Disclaimer, no one under 18 is permitted to read this story. I'm sorry, that's just how it goes.
Okay, David, you have to get out of here.
See you guys.
Author's note. I have no idea what the hell I was smoking when I wrote this.
Oh, that's a great sign.
We're off to a great start. Well, it's written, so I figure I might as well post it. Warning.
Yes, because that's how it works.
Yeah. Warning. Lack of any real plot ahead.
Well, yeah, at least you had the decency to tell us.
See, Trench is lucky. He gets half a page of just no actual story.
Kind of like the time we read Eye of Argon for Nerdy Show and I got the page of exposition.
Yes.
Still pissed that we didn't get included in that.
It's okay. We'll take it up with the union.
When we go down there?
Yes.
Story start. Over here, Stitch, Lilo screamed as she chased after another of Jumba's experiments. She quickly jumped to the side as the experiment shot a pink beam at her. So far, they didn't know what the beam did, but it was better to play it safe and avoid it. Stitch mumbled something in its alien language as he threw a car at his cousin. The car impacted against the rogue experiment and slammed into a wall. Stitch quickly jumped on top of the car and raised his arms up in victory. Stitch, watch out! Lilo's warning came too late as the experiment shot the pink beam at Stitch. Stitch turned his head in time to get blasted off the roof of the car by the experiment's energy beam. Gotcha, Jumba said triumphantly as he sneaked up on the experiment and caught it in the escape-proof cylinder. I must go back to the lab and check on experiments.
There's no V.
Remember, it's Jumba. He kind of speaks like, I guess, somewhat Russian-y.
Memory is hazy on what exactly it does, he mentioned. Lilo helped Stitch get up and asked, Stitch is going to be fine, right? Stitch saw the look of worry on his friend's face, and he flexed his muscles to show that he felt fine. No, I'm sure you'll be fine.
I just imagine little Johnny Bravo music playing at that point.
Stitch, start doing the monkey.
Happy that a new family member had been rescued before Gantu could capture it, Lilo ran back home. She skidded across the floor of the living room and landed right on the sofa. You're just in time, Pleaky said happily. The music.
No. Oh,
yeah. The music video hour is just about to start.
All right. I think Stitch is the only character this entire universe that whose name ends in a consonant.
Okay.
Jumba. Pleakley. Lilo.
What about Mr. Bubbles?
You're right. Three people are the entire universe.
Yep. Yeah. All right. I'm going next. Perfect, Lilo declared. I want to see who gets the top slot this week. Lilo grabbed a handful of potato chips and stuffed her face with them as Stitch came in. Here's Stitch, Lilo said as she patted the seat next to her. Sit down. Stitch grabbed the bowl full of potato chips, downed it all in one big gulp, and sat down with a big belch. Bruh! You little monster! Pleakley complained as he stared at Stitch. I don't know what kind of voice.
No, stared.
Glared.
Very high-pitched.
What kind of a voice does Pleakley have?
Kind of high-pitched, sort of similar to Strong Sound.
Oh, we're doing fine.
I'm going to get another bowl of chips. I hope you don't finish it off as quickly as that one.
What the hell was that, Steve?
That's Miss Piggy.
That was correct.
Stitch waved goodbye to Pleakley as he let loose another loud belch. That was a good one, Lilo said as she giggled. Unknown to Lilo, Stitch was not the same old person or alien experiment in his case he always was. The pink beam had indeed affected him. It affected his mind, the part that controlled sexual desire, to be specific.
Of course.
Oh no.
Before we get too far into this, wouldn't Stitch be considered, you know...
No sex at all?
No. He wouldn't have the sex?
No. Don't even try to think. That's key here. What is it? Lilo asked as she noticed that Stitch was grabbing onto her waist. Stitch started to draw her closer to him, so she figured maybe he just wanted a hug. She hugged him happily, and Stitch hugged her back as he squeezed her butt. Now, Lilo was very mature when it came to a lot of things, but she was still a kid. So she didn't see anything weird with the way Stitch grabbed her behind. She just figured he was playing some kind of game, so she pinched his butt in retaliation and giggled. That's enough of that, Lilo said as she scooted over away from Stitch. I want to watch the music video hour, she declared. Stitch nodded in understanding and skittered over so he could sit behind Lilo. As long as Stitch didn't interrupt her favorite program, she didn't mind where he sat. Gesundheit. Lilo ignored Stitch as he caressed her body with his four arms. The top hands ran circles around her chest as the bottom hands started to raise her skirt. She started to squirm a little as Stitch licked her neck. What's wrong with you? Lilo started to grow worried as she realized that she couldn't escape Stitch's embrace. Ugh. He placed a hand over her mouth so she couldn't say anything as he entered a hand into her panties.
Hello, Rape.
Stitch grinned as he touched what he was after. The remote control.
And her pants, yes.
Whoa.
I'm just kidding. He tilted them over so they were lying on the couch side down. And then slowly he entered a finger into Lilo's pussy.
Did you have to add emphasis to that?
Lilo started to squirm as she felt how Stitch entered her private spot. Another finger joined the other one and her clothes were torn as Stitch played with her underdeveloped tits.
No, not under.
Undeveloped! Ah! Her cries of protest.
They're not just underdeveloped. They're just aren't even there.
Her cries of protest were muffled behind Stitch's hand as her pussy started to grow wet with excitement. Lilo's childish mind couldn't understand what she felt when Stitch fingered her snatch. Next reader.
You read the fucking link like fanfic. You're fine.
Jesus Christ, Steve was like, "What the fuck?"
Sweet, you're up.
Oh,
have fun,
bitch.
Have fun.
Oh, don't worry. You're still getting off easy.
Okay, good. Lilo felt something poking her butt, and she briefly wondered if Stitch had grown a fifth arm.
Yeah.
Already, Stitch had grabbed her panties and easily ripped them off with a quick motion. She felt as the thing that had been poking her was now pushing against the lips of her labia. Stitch.
God damn it. Jewel said, "I'm mentally replacing Stitch with Goro, and Lilo with Sonya Blade."
Stitch made sure his hand was firmly placed over Lilo's mouth as he slid his cock into her snatch. Well, this is escalating rather quickly. Lilo's loud moan was muffled as Stitch slid in until he came across a barrier inside her. If this had been happening under normal circumstances, Stitch would have been careful getting through Lilo's hymen.
Hold on. Under normal circumstances, I'm just throwing this out there. Don't think he would be fucking the 11-year-old.
Hold on to the night.
So yeah. Yes, he would have been careful because he would have been careful enough to never put his cock in that.
Since he was under the sway of the power of one of his cousins, he just busted through with a quick thrust of his hips.
Let's get down!
Lilo's loud scream was muffled by Stitch's firm hand. Tears ran down her cheeks as the pain started to become unbearable. A splurge of blood was released every time Stitch slid down, out, and back in with the wet thud.
Lilo!
That's not how it works.
Lilo's so tight.
Stitch whispered into her ear. Stitch, enjoy fucking over and over and over again. Not stop until too tired to move. The little blue alien proved himself honest as he smacked his hips against Lilo's feverishly. Lilo's screams remained muffled as Stitch fucked her virgin pussy raw. The little creature normally had stamina to burn, but Lilo's tightness along with its over-eagerness proved too much. With a loud growl, Stitch orgasmed. His dick pulsed as it filled Lilo's undeveloped womb full of cum.
That's not how it works.
Nope. Not over yet, Stitch said as he got Lilo lying face up and straddled her chest.
Mouth is ready. Time to suck.
No!
No, it's an important plot point.
No!
Did you record yourself saying no?
No.
Lilo's attempted protest was ignored as Stitch forced his member into her mouth. Fresh tears welled up in Lilo's face as she grimaced at the taste of Stitch's cock. She started to gag as his meat hit the back of her throat. She wondered where everyone was, but didn't want them to see her like this.
Swallow it all.
Stitch commanded as he once again cummed in her body. Lilo had little choice in the matter, so she was forced to taste the salty and oddly flavorful juice. Unknown to Lilo, the drug had affected Stitch had been passed.
Drug?
Just go with it. The drug that affected Stitch had just passed to her when she had...
Just been passed to her when she had swallowed
his cum. Pain slowly gave away to pleasure as the drug took effect on the small girl. She soon found herself eagerly sucking on the still rock-hard shaft as she tried to fit more in her mouth.
Oh, that's so convenient.
She used a finger to play with her breasts as the other hand touched groin.
No. As her other.
Lilo is such a slut. She can't get enough dick. Stitch removed himself from Lilo's mouth to her vocal
process. Lilo is such a slut.
Wow.
Stick your ass out for me and ask me to fuck you.
Roy!
Lilo got on all fours as told and raised her butt for Stitch. Her pussy practically poured pre-cum as her excitement built. Fuck me, Stitch. Choose any hole you want, just fuck me. Stitch smiled a predatory grin as he grabbed Lilo's hips and positioned himself at her back entrance. Here I come, he said as he slowly slid inside. Lilo's prepubescent ass was stretched to its limits as the blue-haired alien's penis explored inside.
No?
That feels great, Stitch. Lilo fingered her vagina as she moved her butt around, eager for Stitch to get things going. She didn't have to wait long as Stitch rocked his hips. Her moans seemed to grow louder and louder as Stitch's cock rubbed up against her inside.
Where's her family? Where's her fucking neighbors? Where's the police?
Where is anyone?
She doesn't have neighbors. She doesn't have neighbors. They live, like, you know, kind of on top of the hill.
They live in Hawaii.
They live forever away.
So tight, Stitch said with a groan. Your ass feels great.
He grabbed onto her hips and quickened his pace as his excitement built. Their moans and grunts seemed as one as Stitch slammed his shaft into her again and again. Lilo was totally lost in the heat of the moment. She was oblivious to everything else except how good it felt to have her ass full of big hard cock. Every thrust forward of the hips Stitch made was met with a thrust backwards by the young Hawaiian girl. Harder, Lilo moaned. Deeper.
I have a secret,
Stitch said in a sing-song voice as he started to scratch at the base of his shaft just above his balls. Out of nowhere, a second cock grew and instantly became hard. On the next push forward, Stitch was inside Lilo on both holes at the same time.
Gee, Stitch, two wieners?
Some guys get all the luck.
Yep.
As Stitch pumped in and out of her holes, Lilo screamed as loud as she could.
Oh, God! Yes! More!
I love it each time.
Lilo was in heaven as she was filled in a way no normal human could ever hope to do.
Like a hostess ho-ho.
State Farm is there.
Take it all.
God damn it, David.
Take it all,
the blue-furred alien said as he slammed into his friend from behind.
I'm gonna come into you again and again until your womb overflows so much it comes out of your mouth, and then I'm gonna fuck you some more.
Stitch fucked so hard that his foppish powder wig fell off onto the Victorian leather.
Yes, fill my womb with your come and make it overflow. I love it. Lilo squealed in delight as Stitch shot his load into her holes. After a brief moment of recovery, Stitch began once again the rhythms. It went like this for a while. Lilo's belly seemed to have expanded from the alien DNA that had been manually pumped into it.
One more time!
We got to save
one more time!
Stitch growled loudly and blew his load into Lilo one more time. Hey, remember that part where he said he's gonna, you know, fuck her until her womb overflows so much it comes out of her mouth? The little girl coughed as a white substance started to come out of her mouth.
I quit!
No.
She hacked and wheezed as more came out, and her stomach shrank back to normal proportions. Why? That's spelled correctly.
No.
Proportions is T-I, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
As her stomach shrank back to normal proportions, it almost seemed unbelievable that the white puddle that had started to form on the floor had been inside her.
David!
Asterisk.
Celebrate.
Each page just takes it up another level. It's nicely segmented.
I am going to drink real quick. Stitch pulled Lilo back so she sat on him with her head pointed upwards.
You should as well have rested on my camera that. Now I'm going to have to fill your room again.
Said the blue alien, grabbed her hips and moved her up and down.
I don't mind,
Lilo said as she licked her lips hungrily. The taste of sperm permeated every single taste bud in her mouth, and she wanted more.
This feels so good.
You've been watching too much anime porn, because everybody fucking says it anime porn. It drives me fucking bonkers.
What, this feels so good?
No, they say I could go crazy. No, that's not how it look. No. That's Stitch's baby maker juice seemed to be on overload. It seemed like after every few thrusts, he shot a new load into her. Just like before, Lilo's abdomen stretched as her womb within was filled with semen.
Your body is mine. My seed flows inside you, freely controlling you. Soon you won't be able to live without sex.
Stitch has done good job, I would say.
Again, the racist Indian depiction.
No. If it were the racist Indian depiction, Stitch has done a good job, I would say.
Okay, thank you, Short Circuit.
I was doing a really bad Russian. Stitch has done good job.
Yeah, he was.
Jumba suddenly commented as he seemed to appear out of nowhere. Poof. Experiment 628 is normally success. It was designed to infect 626 and make him put the female into his will with ejaculation.
Why?
Service?
Oh, shit,
service.
I've done 627 of the fuckers. What do I do next?
No, you had it right the first time.
Lilo commented offhandedly as she continued to bounce up and down on Stitch's rods.
Okay, then.
Lilo couldn't care less at the moment, like Stitch had said before. She couldn't stop herself from moving. She felt warm inside, and she liked it. Jumba grabbed Lilo's hair roughly as he dropped his pants.
Oh, no.
What?
Well, not exactly hung like a horse. Jumba was definitely bigger than Stitch. The young girl almost gagged as the large alien forced himself, or rather, was willing to let into her mouth. Evil med scientist is, how you say, pervert. Always wanted to fuck little girl in all holes.
Oh, God.
As if there was any way to make things more pleasurable for herself, she did not know.
Get out of the house!
She eagerly sucked on Jamba's fat cock as Stitch kept her other hose busy. In fact, her body was so filled with so much of the liquid, it even started to come out of her pores as sweat.
I'm sure we've made a sweating cum joke at some point in the past.
I don't think
her whole body was changing. The hair on her head and pubes turned white, and her skin pigmentation became a lighter shade.
Oh!
He's a side effect of the drug.
Pigmentation spelled with a Y.
So wait, he's giving Lilo progeria?
No, he's giving Lilo anime villainitis. Jumbo explained, giving a scientific explanation did nothing to subtract from the experience for the big lug. In fact, all the scientific theorem was in his mind just seemed to make him harder than before. Hair turns white and body becomes pale. I would suggest avoidance of sunlight.
Like a vampire.
No problem, Stitch commented nonchalantly. We're going to keep her so busy she won't even remember what the sun looks like.
Oh wait, no, he growled that. She won't even remember what the sun looks like. Stitch growled something out in his natural language. As he concentrated, suddenly his penises became ribbed to increase the pleasure Lilo was in.
Ribbed for pleasure.
Yep.
The purple alien cackled as he knew what Stitch had done.
Another You're done, Dave! Dave. Asterix.
You don't have to. You don't have to take one for the team. Asterisk.
Thank God. I'm out. Later.
No. Don't go anywhere. Don't change David. That channel.
Hello, floor.
No. Trench.
Trench mouth.
Excuse me a moment while I drown myself.
We only have four more pages.
God, did we really wrap back around already? Yeah, we did. Oh, because Tony's not here. Where is Tony?
He'll be here at 9.
That's really late.
Oh, 9, but we start at 8.
He works. He's a working man. He's a maniac.
Lazy work all day maniac. For some old man, sweating and breaking my back.
No, let Trenchy read.
The purple alien cackled as he knew what Stitch had just done. Another advantage of 628. It not only boosts the production of the white goo, but it makes the groin malleable and able to change according to will.
So 628 is the Green Lantern equivalent of penis.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Okay.
Oh, the pain lantern.
I can
deal with that.
Anything.
I need another drink. Oh, God.
Don't die.
Lilo's eyes had rolled to the back of her head as soon as Stitch had effected his newest change. She had almost lost consciousness from the sensory overload that had followed. The little girl was still dazed and out of it. Wanting a change of pace, Stitch switched sides with Jumba. Lilo lowered herself on his purplish rod and once again bounded up and down. The small blue-furred alien had Lilo grab his lower cock, which she immediately sucked at that even. Meanwhile, he grabbed onto the cock above that one and started to jerk it off. Human snatch is tighter than expected, Jumba said as he gritted his teeth to the painfully sweet experience.
It's a scientific term.
I guess. But hole will grow and change. Just like 626, hole will shrink or grow dependent on will. Jumba let loose another groan of pain as he added, looks like little girl's will is to be tighter than atom at the moment.
That's not how.
That's how.
Stitch blew load after load straight on Lilo's face. So much it almost seemed like a steady stream. Her body seemed to become even more pale as it absorbed the thick goo like a sponge. His inferior extremity had not been quiet thus far. A thin stream of white liquid dribbled down her chin and splashed on her body in a steady trickle. This, too, was absorbed by her body.
Oh, no! She's turning into Casper the Friendly Ghost!
Casper the Seamany Ghost.
I was going to say she was turning into a sponge, but okay.
Even the color of her pupils had started to turn white. Right now, Lilo looked like she could have easily been mistaken for just another of Jumba's countless experiments. If they're all numbered, are they countless?
Yeah. No. Shut up!
That's the fucking best question.
So wait, what is 627 again?
It was
the West Nile virus.
Is that Leroy?
Experiment 627, because like
627 was basically like Jumba had made one that could easily that was designed to be better than Stitch because Stitch was being braggy about how he was the best experiment.
That was that shitty Leroy and Stitch movie, right? Stitch 2. Stitch has a glitch.
Just a living sex toy he had invented, designed to please him and Stitch whenever they desired so. If Lilo was gonna be given a nickname just like all the other experiments, it would have been Cumbucket.
Da-da-doo-da!
That was what she was at the moment, just a place for males to blow their loads into. What's going on here? Oh, God. Nami entered the living room.
So yeah, you said, where's her family, right?
I said, yes.
Well, there she is.
And was immediately shocked and angered by what Stitch and Jumba were doing with that experiment.
I think that's immediately.
Immediately, yes, I was shocked.
It is immediately shocked and angered by what Stitch and Jumba were doing with that experiment. Take it elsewhere before Lilo sees what you're doing. She's too young to see this sort of thing. Stitch, Jumba said as he grinned at his blue friend. Fetch. Stitch quickly pulled out of Lilo's mouth and tackled Nami to the floor. The little blue alien easily subdued the bigger human since he was stronger than he appeared. It seems like we have newcomer to fun stuff.
Spelled with two M's.
Nami struggled futilely against Stitch as he ripped open her clothes. I need more cock, Nami heard the creature say sadly. The voice seemed familiar to her, but she couldn't quite place it. Nami.
Tetsuo? Lilu? Suddenly, a look of horrific realization ran through Nami's face. What Wait, have Steve. You monsters done to her?
Steve. Also, her name is Nani, not Nami. Nami is the name of a One Piece character.
I am oddly torn because on the one hand, I want this over with as quickly as possible.
Me too.
On the other, I want Tony to suffer with us.
Well, Tony will be here. He'll have enough to suffer with. Same thing Stitch now do for you, Jumba said maliciously. Turn her to addict, which can't live without sex. Prepare for down count. Long live Morvania. As far as Stitch was concerned, that had been more than enough monologuing. Wow, spelled correctly, holy crap. He entered his lower penis into Nami's mouth while he slapped her face with the upper one.
Wow.
Stitch's cum was still on overload. Nami's face quickly became white and sticky as Stitch shot a few loads on her face. Her neck was moving and it looked as if she was drinking a tall glass of milk. Gross. Nami's eyes went wide as she recognized the taste of the liquid Stitch was feeding her. Her mind started to cloud, but because sex was not new to her, and also because she had experimented with drugs when younger, she did not become immediately addicted to it like Lilo had.
What?
Yep. Immediately.
What the fuck?
Immediately addicted, yes. Though the taste was hard to resist. However, resistance was not an option.
Resistance is futile.
Actually, there must be a porn parody of Star Trek where instead of screaming out Khan, he just screams, "Come!"
Especially when you considered the amount Stitch had given her and the amount he had yet to give.
I think that parody's called Space Nuts.
Nami felt like she couldn't take
Starballs
anymore, but Stitch let the stream continue uninterrupted. The drug entered her system and slowly but surely affected her mind.
And made her subscribe to him on Twitch.
Must and visit Infowars.com! Not that she could have, but if given a choice, she would have sucked down Stitch's baby maker juice willingly at this point. Her nipples became fully erect and her groin grew wet. Just like Lilu before, changes came with the supply of semen provided for her. Her hair became white, and her skin started to absorb the goo that Stitch was still shooting on her face. Is this like a fucking fire hose? Lilu was currently sucking on her thumb, pretending it was a penis. I'm sorry, right. Let me read that again. Lilu was currently sucking on her thumb, pretending it was a penis.
Penis.
This was not hard, since her skin tasted like man juice.
Penis.
Alien juice.
So she disappointed by the small side. Can I have it in the butt next? Jumba nodded his approval as Lilu smiled in expectation. She bounced up and down happily as she reveled in the feeling. Now that Nami was under their control, Stitch brought her over to where Lilu was.
Have her its route,
Stitch ordered her. Nami brought her bare pussy up to Lilo's face, who began to lick it slowly. Lilu tasted Stitch's juice and
not
Nami.
Lilu. It's not Lilu.
Yeah, you keep on saying Lilu.
I'm saying Lilu. It makes me feel better.
This isn't the fifth element, Steve.
Lilo tasted Stitch's juice and Nami, and her licking became faster and hungrier.
Nah, nah, nah.
Stitch jerked off to the sigh and started to release his seed again.
Vroom! Vroom!
This time, he alternated between shooting it on Lilo's face and Nami's chest.
Or.
Nami couldn't take it anymore. More. She grabbed Stitch by surprise and threw him down next to Jumba. Next, she got on top of him and had him enter her holes with his dual swords.
Dual wielding, you gotta take a negative to
attack. Fuck me now! She said through clenched teeth. Stitch was going to anyway. He rocked his hips, much to her great pleasure. Splee, please read expediently.
.com.
I was just about to make that joke. Thank you, David.
Welcome.
Because of Nami's more developed metabolism and because of her big frame, she still looked human, unlike Lilo. Then again, Stitch was still feeding her body with semen, so that could change eventually. Nami's pussy and ass happily gobbled it all up and asked for more.
Oh, no. Please some more. Please some more. I want some more.
Was her butt asking for more or was she?
No, her butt and her pussy. They will kind of sound like Alan Rickman. Please, hey. I want some more.
I must put it in your butt.
Here you go, Lilo, Nami said as she entered two fingers into her sister's ass.
Why is Nami King Candy?
Why wouldn't she be?
You have some sperm. Lilo moved her hips eagerly to receive the penetration.
Not eagerly.
Eager to receive the penetration, Nami moved her fingers in and out as a bit of leftover cum leaked from the tight hole. This whole thing was wrong.
No shit!
Oh, really? Oh, no, hang on. Oh, shit. I didn't know that. Oh. My plans are ruined.
They were sisters? Really?
Oh. Yep.
That's why it's wrong?
I had the wrong idea completely.
That's why it's wrong. It's because they're sisters,
yeah, that's
not just because it's
aliens. Let's run. Okay. The ground is on fire. The ground is lava. Let's run.
They were sisters, not to mention the fact that Lilo was still underage. The charge Stitch had introduced into their bodies had removed all notions of decency and modesty. Only lust was left. Nami pulled Lilo by the hair and she explored her mouth with her tongue. This encounter had more behind it than just the exchange of saliva. Lilo's eyes went wide with joy as she realized that Nami's body had been filled and Stitch's cum was now coming out through Nami's mouth.
Yes, because that's how it works.
Lilo eagerly kissed the older sister as she swallowed the cum that came out of Nami's mouth. The two of them were as one, connected by the love juice that Stitch supplied. Jumba grunted erratically and yelled, "Here I go!"
Again on my own.
Unlike Stitch, Jumba did not have the advantage of having spliced genes, so one orgasm was all he was good for.
When he was
done, he pulled out and sat down to recover his strength. Dad, stop! Lilo complained as she broke the kiss with her and Nami. The kiss her and Nami had going. Jumba shook his head and he stared. Jumba shook his head as he stared defeat at his limp rod. Maybe getting blasted by one of his more recent experiments might not have been such a bad idea.
Might
not be such a bad idea.
Plenty for everyone.
All food's steady here.
Stitch said as he made Nami scoot over a bit upward. Suddenly, just like before, Stitch grew a new appendage. Two of them, to be precise. Four penises were lined up neatly in a row over his groin area.
And they were all shaped like Mentok, and then they sang Barbershop.
Do you believe in kissing, honey? You bet I do. But I believe in kissing, honey, when the mood is blue.
Lilo quickly moved, and in seconds, she made sure her ass and pussy were full of alien cock. Yes, Stitch! Fuck all four of our holes at the same time! Lilo squealed in delight as she felt Stitch start the injection process all over again.
What?
Come here, you slut! Nami commanded as she plucked her sister by the hair and kissed her deeply. Their tongues intertwined with one another as Stitch's cock wiggled around inside. As if they had a mind of their own. Harder! Deeper!
Their tongues accidentally formed a Gordian knot, and they were suddenly stuck together.
It's your turn. I'm putting on happy music.
I don't know how to do a happy voice.
Just go with it.
Stitch smirked widely as he made all four of his penises bigger and thicker. Lilo and her sister shared a very vocal moan as they wiggled their hips around. Just like before, their bodies grew so overstuffed with semen that it started to come out of their mouths. This time, not a single drop would be wasted. The two Hawaiian sisters locked lips as the protein flowed freely in their mouths. Stitch's seeds swam inside their bodies and all orifices.
Listening to Zap Brannigan talk about this just makes it a whole lot worse.
It appeared, however, that Stitch's inhuman resistance would not last much longer, especially when you consider that he was currently satisfying four holes at once. His pelvic thrusts became erratic as he reached his limit. Take it all. Stitch shot one last load into the bodies of the sisters, who had to break their kiss as the seam became too much to hold down. The white liquid ran down the bodies and dripped down on the floor. The two of them stood up, aware that Stitch couldn't fuck them anymore. What should we do now? Nami looked at Lilo as she pondered her sibling's question. I'm still horny. So am I, Nami admitted. Suddenly, a realization came to her. I have some toys in my room. It's not much, but it should tide us until Stitch is ready for more. Lilo immediately shot off like a bullet to Nami's room, eager to stuff her pussy with something. Just before Nami could follow Lilo, Stitch grabbed her hand. His cocks disappeared back into his body until only one remained in the appropriate spot. His last remaining cock still remained hard, though. Not finished. Dot, dot, dot. What do you mean I'm not supposed to say the dots? They're right there. It's in the dialogue. Nami kneeled down and grabbed the hard member in her hand. She stroked it and briefly wondered if she should call Lilo back down. Can you grow back those other cocks again? Too tired for that, Stitch answered. Enough stamina for single penetration. Nami knew what she had to do. It's my destiny. She lay down on the puddle of cum they had made earlier and opened her legs. Stitch grinned and said, slut, as he straddled the bigger human. Fuck me, she ordered. Not that Stitch needed to be told. He entered her pussy and the motion started all over again. Sex was now more than just an obsession, which it apparently was before. It was a drug they couldn't go without. Not now. Not ever. And this concludes my memoirs from that one time I went to the sex planet. 7.
Next up is...
Why couldn't Link. I just be dissected by W.D. Kane?
David, you're up.
Disclaimer, Danny Phantom's owned by Nickelodeon. If it was owned by me, it would have lasted 100 more episodes, and I would have hired Wings of Morpheus and Legend Maker as heads writers for the show. No money profits made from this fanfic. Danny Fanfic! Why couldn't I just be dissected by W.C. Kane? Disclaimer, Danny... Wait, you already said that. The Danny Phantom is owned by Nickelodeon. If it was owned by me, it would have lasted 100 more episodes. And it would have hired Wings of Morpheus, the Legend Maker, as the head writers of the show.
Someone's
Creevers. Fanfic was inspired by the ultra dark Danny's parents experiment on him. Fanfics like Arania Wings things. Arania Wings Lab Rat has just Phantom of Truth. After reading that, it occurred to me if it was possible to take the exact same concept Danny being experimented on by his parents and change the formula, here's my result. So I hope you like it. The readers in the fanfiction.net sure as hell don't. This is the story that got my old account on FNF. Had 3 negative reviews in the first day after I posted it. This is just a fucking chapter of him complaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your entire bitch, this is your
bitch,
page.
Bitch.
Oh, good. Fucking screeching that it was the worst thing ever written. My account was taken down a week later. I guess none of them realized this was a comedic parody of the Lab Rat story. Also, I haven't watched the show in a long time. There might be a continuity error or two, so kindly don't get too miffed if I make one. The time frame is just before Phantom Planet. What the fuck? Phantom Planet. And Maddie doesn't have a clue who to our son's double identity. Warning. It was strange writing this fanfic. Something I felt like I was writing a dirty comedy, while other times I felt like I was writing a grade A nightmare fuel, just like Amneria Wing is old Haja's fanfic. So be forewarned. 7 X's.
666 XXXX.
Why couldn't I just be dissected by W.D. Kane? 7 X's.
You didn't even get a chance to read the story. Trench!
Thank Christ.
Need to refill my drink.
Yeah, actually, I need to do that too. Trench, please.
I'll switch with Trench then. Pain.
Well, Tony should be here in like any it's minute fine. Now.
I'll switch.
Tony should be
meantime.
Here in like any late it.
Danny Phantom sighed from inside the special cell made impervious ghostly powers.
Why do they refer to him as Danny Phantom? Why did you just call him Danny?
He could see his mother typing into a computer, no doubt preparing a horrible test or experiment to perform, and there was nothing he could do to stop her. This was the worst case scenario. His dad would not be showing up, so Danny couldn't count on his buffoonery to help him escape. Maddie was smarter, craftier, and deadlier than Jack could ever hope to be. There would be no chance for escape. She would have foreseen every possible contingency and designed a countermeasure for it. Danny was now her prisoner in her special laboratory. This facility was special, set up by his mother and for his mother only. That was the first condition for her to receive the grant. Her husband was to have no part in her experiments. She couldn't share her data with him, and he wouldn't be allowed to set foot in her custom lab. He couldn't even know where it was located.
It was in Mexico.
His mom allowed herself to be totally cut off from her family for the next 6 weeks, so her experiments would proceed unabated.
It's underneath the laundromat.
She was doing everything single-handedly, and it showed. Without Jack to bungle things up, she captured the ghost boy on her first attempt. Oh, Roy, so it shares space with Archer. Cool. This left Danny Phantom nothing to do but sit in his cell and watch as his mother on the computer, no doubt deciding where to make the first incision.
I mean, I was thinking more of Breaking Bad, but sure.
Not possible! Maddie breathed incredulously. What's up, Doc? In a frenzy, she twisted the computer's monitor towards him. He recognized it instantly. It was from when Clockwork was using ghosts from the future to kill him, to stop him from becoming Dark Danny. I am Box Lunch, the daughter of the Box Ghost and the Lunch Lady. Beware.
With the Lunch Lady from the Adam Sandler song?
Ghosts can reproduce? I guess so.
Hell yeah, they can.
Ghosts can reproduce?
Apparently. Hell yeah, they can.
Ghosts can reproduce? Yes!
Hell yeah, they can.
Danny snapped, tired of the mantra. Ghosts can have sex!
Oh yeah, they can. Have you seen Ghostbusters? Fucking Ray Winston got
his... Yeah, the Ghostbusters fucking...
Trench.
That statement stopped Maddie's parrot impression. Her eyes took on that cool and careful analyzing state that made her a great scientist.
Yeah, it's the way you can look at something that makes you a good scientist.
It's that look in your eye and that gumption, that spunk.
Gotta go fast.
She stared at Danny Phantom so intensely that it began to unnerve the ghost boy. Maddie, are you okay? His mother put her thumb under her chin and index finger under her red lips as she suddenly smiled. Why, yes, Phantom. I'm just fine. Good. That's good. Danny wasn't liking his mom's sudden friendliness with her supposed lab rat. Maddie stood up and looked at Danny in the friendliest way she could. Okay, Phantom. She frowned at her slip. She needed it to trust her. I know we've had a very rocky relationship, so how about we let bygones be bygones? She moved closer to the cell door. Doesn't that sound fine? It sounds okay, I guess. I've treated you horribly. Maddie flashed him that kind smile only a loving mother could give. It's time I start making it up to you. And make it up, Maddie did. The following 2 weeks were a blast for Danny. He had so much fun, it was like he was on summer vacation.
Hooray!
Best time ever. His mother actually went out and bought the Ghost Boy a Playbox U gaming system and dozens of fun games, along with some great action movies, anime, and a ton of brand new comic books.
And Pocky Sticks!
And Watashi, and Washi,
and Marble and Soda! Washi.
And Sonic the Hedgehog collectible figurine.
Pocky is so underrated.
Just so you know, Pocky in Japan is the fucking best. We get shafted here in America, man.
Yeah, we do.
All right, let's...
Wait, the American Pocky sucks?
Yes.
It does.
Who'd have thunk?
Like, in America, or in fucking Japan, they got like 40 different kinds of Pocky. And then they have Pocky called Man Pocky. And it's like... it's like extra thick and delicious Pocky.
And here we have like three flavors.
Yeah, we got strawberry and chocolate. That's two.
Danny Phantom was having a blast and his mom was there right by him. It was the best mother-son quality time he ever had. She was there sharing the fun and paying attention to everything he did. That's very, very sad. Sadly, had Danny known that his mother was carefully analyzing and documenting everything he did, he would not be enjoying himself at all. Video games. Picking Chun-Li again, Ghost Boy? You seem to pick her a lot.
Yeah, she's cheap and fast.
Splee, you're up.
Oh,
every
boy.
Time it says Danny, every time it says Danny Phantom, I just keep thinking of Dean Thomas.
Chun-Li's great. She's the strongest woman alive, after all. She's top tier and can beat up any of the guys with her mighty kicks. Maddie,
she's not top tier. Like, even the slightest.
Well, that's what he thinks.
Do you play competitive fighting games, David?
No.
All the time.
Maddie only gave him a smile as she made a mental note.
Metal note, yes, right.
That sounds like a really awesome term.
A mental note how Phantom enjoyed strong women in fighting games. She also made a note that Chun-Li's nylon stockings and mighty thighs might factor into it. Maybe the ghost was a leg man? Movies! Go boil an egg! The ghost boy was laughing at Mel Gibson's character one-liners to Lucy Liu's dominatrix character.
What? What movie is that?
I don't know!
Read.
It's not real.
Read on!
Maddie continued smiling so as not to distract the ghost boy's focus on Mel Gibson's payback. The subject was having much fun while the gritty noir film Violence.
No, watching.
Have fun watching the gritty noir film Violence. His attention to the Mistress Pearl scenes were noted. This required further examination.
Helicopter Mom.
Seven X's more.
Anime. Mel Gibson's Payback is a real film.
Oh, it is.
Yeah, but is it Mel Gibson, Lucy Liu?
It is.
Huh. Well, how about that?
Oh my god, Chitose! This is the greatest anime ever! Danny was on the ground clutching his sides as he was laughing so hard it actually hurt. Maddie had to fake giggling while she examined Phantom's reactions to the slapstick sex comedy. The Happy Lesson anime was offering a wealth of information to her. It seemed the ghost approved of motherly figures being sexualized through a variety of fetishes.
I actually have the entirety of Happy Lesson on DVD.
Is it actually good?
No.
Okay.
It was one of those impulse purchases. Was $19.99 at Best Buy and had boobs on the cover.
I made an impulse purchase when I bought Ikki Tosin, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, but at least Ikki Tosin eventually became softcore pornography.
She also glanced over the pile of mangas with an apostrophe S for some strange goddamn reason.
Manga is.
Phantom had stacked while he was distracted by the anime. The ones at the top were Real Bout High School and The Sorcerer Hunters. Both featured powerful sexualized women. She theorized this observation would reappear in the next tests. Seven X's. Comics! Man, do I wish they stayed on Power Girl for more than 12 issues. I bet David agrees with that.
I agree, except Amanda Connor and Jimmy Palmiotti did like a 36-issue run on Power Girl.
The ghost
awesome. Mode.
Man, I do wish they stayed on Power Girl for more than 12 issues. The ghost moaned with an amused smile as he finished the 12th issue of Justin Gray, Jimmy Palmiotti. Jimmy Palmiotti, thank you, David.
Palmiotti.
Yeah, Palmiotti.
And Amanda Connor's run of the series. His minor dismay didn't hamper him from picking up some old Catwoman comics drawn by Jim Ballant. Those comics were still quirky, enjoyable, and featured big bosom women.
Big bosom women, we want big bosom Roy. Women. Big bosom women, big bosom women.
Roy.
Big bosom women.
Little bosoms get out. We don't want no little bosoms. Little bosoms get out.
Having fun
if
there?
If you keep talking, I'm going to punish you.
Like Sailor Moon, I'm down with that.
No, I'm just going to make us all sit here for longer. I'm going to read them as slow as I can.
No, go, please.
Oh, yeah. I don't mind. I do.
Meanwhile, off to the side, Maddie smiled to herself. She was right. Her initial hypothesis had enough support garnered from the ghost boy's responses to begin a new series of tests. All that was needed was the prep work. The brilliant Dr. Maddie Fenton went online to special websites and entered her measurements. It was time to begin the experiment. XXX. The week passed quickly for the two. Time flies when you're having fun was the reason why. Danny Phantom was living it up with all the hobbies he abstained from to fight ghosts, and Maddie was plotting tons of different scenarios and avenues she could explore. Danny Phantom could not think of a happier time. Even though Maddie was in the dark of their true relationship, she could easily tell the ghost loved being around her now that she wasn't trying to destroy it.
Doi.
Weird.
Doi.
Dropping the scalpel and ecto cannon to pick up comics and video games were far more effective in gaining its trust. Really?
Oh. No.
Who knew? Men were motivated by their wieners.
It trusted her so much that it had no clue when she walked into its cell while it was playing a game and tasered it in the back.
Tasers work on ghosts?
That was just the sound a phone makes when it's ready.
Ghost taser.
Meanwhile, XXXXXXX. Maddie quietly pushed the wheelchair holding the knocked out phantom, tip-top tip-toping, so not to wake it. The ghost had a fast recovery, and she didn't want to face its ire over being backstabbed with the patented Fenton ghost prod. They entered the empty examining chamber she prepared for these tests.
Roy.
Except for the lard.
Bananas, strawberry, or peach?
All of the above, damn it.
Okay, which one has the more?
Peach.
Peach.
Peach more is okay.
Okay. Ghost prod. They entered the empty examining chamber she prepared for these tests, except for the large metal table in the center and two large steel cabinets off to the side. The room was bare. There were no computer terminals, monitors, or machinery at all, except the security tech lining the cuffs on the table to ensure the ghost could not escape. She had to hurry. The shock wouldn't keep the ghost unconscious much longer, and it needed to be restrained. She plopped Phantom on the large table and arranged its limbs into an X shape. Efficiently taking up each arm, the scientist securely cuffed each wrist to a table corner. The Fenton ecto entrappers ensured that the ghost would have no leverage to move. Satisfied that there was none, Maddie turned her attention to its legs, cuffing one, then the other, to the remaining corners and making sure again it would have no leverage there either. Meanwhile...
David!
Meanwhile, it was David's turn. Hubbard prepares himself mentally to read the fanfiction.
I think he died.
Actually, I was peeing, but, you know, I didn't want to, like, let y'all have to hear me peeing.
You kidding me? We can charge a premium for that.
Oh, man. Subscribers, like, comment, subscribe if you want to hear me pee.
Like I said... Like
that's
I said,
the episode title!
Cool, I found
it. Says peeing is for scrubs.
All right, nodding proudly to herself, Maddie. By the way, my first girlfriend actually was named Maddie, and I'm uncomfortable singing this story.
Okay? Singing this song.
Maddie gazed down at her plaything. Phantom looks so hapless, bound to the metal slab, like the little boy it appeared to be. It seemed inconceivable to think that such a smart ghost possessed so much raw power. But here it was, completely at her mercy.
I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Mercy. Completely at mercy. Smacking her lips, she grinned at her triumph, closing her eyes in bliss. She had toppled the mighty phantom by herself. No powers, no crack squad of commandos, just using her wits, prowess, and genius. She had trapped the mighty phantom, and it would never escape her. Nothing could get rid of her smile as she exited the chamber. She carried it all the way to the changing station to fetch a special material. She... ordered online. Oh, yes, I can't wait. It was time for science, and she would love every second of it. Access! Danny Phantom slowly came to his senses. His eyes were sore and red. I read that as rad at first. As they focused on the ceiling above him, he shook his head to wave off whatever knockout gas his mother hit him. It was a stun gun. It was a fucking stun.
Tasered.
It was a fucking stun. It was lightning from a hand thing.
He doesn't know that.
He tried to rub his eyes, but found his wrist manacled above his head. Face proof. Looking down, he noticed his ankles were manacled in the same fashion. Closer inspection. High-tech cuffs were lined with soft so as to not injure the wrist. Or was not fitting for it.
Louder!
Not fitting. I'm trying to read it sexily, Steve. Not fitting for a dissection at all.
I would be sexy if I could hear it.
Leaning close.
Not fitted for dissection at all.
Well, all the spittle makes me wet.
Okay.
Literally.
He was going cut up. So why spear him some minor discomfort? Looking around the operating room only raised more questions. There weren't any computers or scanners or anything he spotted in the Fenton
basement.
Anything else. he spotted in the Fenton basement. It was just the metal table he was shackled to, except for two large steel cabinets off to the side. The room was bare. He was all alone. So where was his mother? The ghost boy flinched as the overhead light switched off, leaving him in the dark. Before he could ask what was happening, the lab door opened just as quickly closed. Phantom strained his neck to see who entered, but even a ghost had its limits. All he could do was listen to heels clacking on the hard floor tile. The sound did not stop and instead encompassed him. His mother was walking around him in a circle in heels.
Mrs. Phantom, I think you're trying to seduce me.
Mom? Maddie? Could you tell me what's happening here?
He asked in a small voice. His answer was continued clacking heels from the dark. This went on for a full minute. Ghosts known to have impeccable senses of timing.
Like me!
One of them does.
Get out.
I just shat myself.
That would be impeccable timing on my
That would be part. Impoopable
As
timing.
As your punishment, Tony, you'll have to read the next five pages on your own.
Okay.
Putting the prisoner in a nervous state, the ghost boy squirmed against his bonds. They would budge. His nerves were reaching their limit, and that darn clacking wasn't helping matters.
Could you stop that dang heel noise? It's driving me batty.
Tony, you are up, and you're going to read at least two pages.
Come down to page seven or so. You're looking for soft fingers.
Soft fingers, gently.
Fingers on a summer day. Hitting my boy Poussin.
Hitting your Brian Poussin.
My Brian Poussin.
Soft fingers gently stroked his cheek. He jerked in reflex, but found she had already gone back into the darkness. Shh, baby. Don't get upset, his mother cooed into his ear. It'll turn out all right.
I just read ahead and I'm going to throw up, thanks.
Blur.
Phantom. You're not supposed to read ahead.
Phantom snapped his head to face her, but she had already vanished back into the dark. She gave a little laugh and resumed that maddening heel noise. It was like Chinese water drip torture. It was driving him insane.
Inside.
Right? Nope.
It was driving him inside.
Oh, Intel God. Inside.
Inside the new Nissan Altima.
Quit no, it's that. Driving him inside, but you can't use your bike inside. There's a time and place for everything.
New for 2015.
Quit that. It's Nissan freaking annoying. He thrashed uselessly against his bonds. So stop with the heels.
Stop with the heels already, lady.
Crying out loud. It's just, it's aggravating my condition.
I have appendicitis, but it helps. It hurts if your heels around.
Thank you very much for the things and the places and the ability to read.
Oh, yeah. Also, Woody Allen.
So, you want me to do something else? He could hear her smiling. Are you...
You!
Yes! Phantom snapped, frustrated beyond common logic. He would regret saying that one word for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Then get ready for the shock of your life. She giggled and pressed a button on the table.
Oh, God, it burns!
Ow, it zaps with the hurting, the lasers, and the lightning bolts.
Suddenly, Glitter 2 DVD's case came down from above.
Mariah Carey is my favorite.
Okay. Danny immediately braced himself for electric shocks, but they didn't come. He wished they had. Instead, the button turned on the lights, and he saw his mother. Oh my God.
Oh my God.
A red Playboy bunny suit. Mother was dressed as a Playboy bunny. It was tight in all the right areas. Her well-endowed breasts were barely constrained by the cups of the red costume. Its underlying corset squeezed her slim tummy to emphasize her wide, childbearing hips, which were tilted to show the fluffy cotton tail above her buttocks.
Danny Phantom's mom in a bunny suit.
Her sleek legs were covered by the smoky dark sheen of her nylon pantyhose. Red stiletto heels propped her up, giving her steps a strut that made her red bunny ears flop with every step. The cute black bow tie and the white collar cuffs on her tiny wrists only added to her seductive wiles.
Alright, real talk. As the only prisoner who actually has BDSM experience, that is not something that would be used by someone who's dominant at all.
Apparently, somebody actually drew this. This is really weird.
Link it, please.
Here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Wow.
I'm okay with that. That's I'm okay with that. Also, why
play with
glass?
The furry bunny butt over the buttocks?
What's wrong with the furry bunny butt?
I didn't say anything. I said complete with. Anyways, all right, let's keep rolling.
All right, back to Kath Sosi. Do you like? Maddie purred, winking at the ghost boy. Her hand on a tilted hip and the other by her bosom, she flashed her beautiful smile. Having shown her profile, she started walking towards the helpless ghost. The heels clacked as she shook her hips with each step as she renewed her circling around Danny, allowing him to take in her raw sexuality from every angle, from the generous fall of her breast to the uncomfortably tight bunny corset exemplified her hourglass figure.
So she didn't even stop with the heels.
She didn't know. Phantom lost it and triggered the white rings to appear and change him back to normal human mode to stop this before what he feared would happen. But the rings did not appear. All he felt was a slight tingling coming from the technology in his manacles. He couldn't change back. He couldn't show his mom what she was doing to her son. The bunny girl ran her forefinger up and down his chest after coming to a stop. She bent down, hands on her knees, pushing her immense cleavage into his face.
Yes,
man. It's kind of squeakishly large.
Dainty hand slid between her breasts, pushing them apart to pull out a small metal handle snuggled between them. Her thumb rolled across its switch and outfolded a small blade, a box cutter.
That's not the sort of thing you want to put there. That's dangerous. Yeah.
This was good up until right then.
No, no, Phantom cried quietly, shivering as fear overtook him.
No, no.
The Halfa? The Halfa?
Halfa. Yeah, Halfa.
It's actually a term used in the show. It is actually half human, half ghost.
No, I believe that because I actually watched and really enjoyed the show. And the guy who did the voice of Danny Phantom was originally, what's his name? Help me out. Superman, animated series, Superman's friend.
Oh, yeah, Jimmy Olsen. Superman's Jimmy Olsen, best pal.
Yeah, that was the one.
What? How about that?
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, there's a Steam curator called Waifu Hunter. He will tell us if a video game has attractive anime ladies in it.
Oh, good. That's the best thing.
Let's
marvelously
keep going.
Terrible. The Halfa closed his eyes in preparation for the first incision, but felt something ticklish. He quickly peeked from the top of a mountain through his eyelids to see Bunny Maddie using the box cutter to gently.
Sorry, one more time. He weakly peeked
from the top of him. Yeah, through his eyelids. Though his eyelids.
There it is.
To see Bunny Maddie using the box cutter to gently cut away his costume without nicking his ecto skin. She sliced up his black hazmat suit over and over, as speedy as a slasher movie monster and meticulous as a surgeon. And as meticulous as a surgeon. Danny held his breath. Scared out of his mind, she took notice and stopped. Don't worry. I'll never hurt you.
I won't hurt you.
She whispered in his ear. Not without enjoying it. Bunny Maddie grabbed his cut-up uniform by the DP logo and pulled. And just like the magician's tablecloth trick, she yanked his costume clean off. Nice. Oh my god! I'm naked! Don't fret, sweet cakes. I'll be naked soon. So relax.
Sweet.
Now lay back and enjoy the view. The Scarlet Bunny smiled, turning around and walking to the cabinets with the ghost's costume. She wiggled her derriere to catch his gaze under her cute cotton fuzzball. Naturally, the high cut of the corset-like bodice meant that her butt cheeks were fairly exposed behind the nylon stockings, naturally. It was practically a thong with the amount of skin from her backside showing. Not natural at all. That's not how a corset works. Worst for Danny.
It's how you get thongs. It's like butt boob.
Mm. Worst for Danny, the high heels and stockings brought out the definitions of her legs and butt. Shall we go to Webster's?
Yes.
Phantom's jaw could not drop any farther as his mother bent over, lifting up her firm butt for him to see as she stuffed his suit into a container later for later study. She wiggled her hips to do a little booty shake for him to enjoy, but instead making his stomach churn. Her busy work done, Bunny Maddie spun on her heels with her hands behind her back and made her way back to her prisoner, arms bent akimbo with her hands at her side, rolling her hips with every step. She fixed him a lustful smile, had to go to the kitchen first, fully aware that her chest was bouncing with each step and that the high heels were forcing her to make more mincing steps that emphasized the shifting of her buttocks. but it was worth it to hold the ghost's undivided attention. Do we have any requests for voices?
No, you're doing good.
Can okay. I get a SpongeBob, please? You don't know how much this will enhance my experience.
David, why?
She stood to the side of the ghost child and gently touched his navel, running her red fingernail up to his chest.
God.
Thank you, Tony. You're the best.
He shuddered, looking decidedly ill as she stood by his side and gentle stroke his abdomen.
Well, replace the word phantom SpongeBob with stop. Every person in the audience. Yes!
Stop reading out loud, SpongeBob.
Squidward, what are you doing here?
SpongeBob, I don't really want to talk about what I'm doing here.
Squidward, why is your nose in a leather sack?
You really don't want to know about what I do behind your back, SpongeBob.
Hi, SpongeBob. Hi, Squidward.
Oh, God, no. We're stopping this right now.
Nice to see you here, Gimp Patrick.
Hey, SpongeBob.
Please read.
Our baby's made.
I'll tell you, Patrick. Danny looked up into her fiendish smile and broke. The secret could not be kept anymore.
Her sensual teasing had ruined the mother-son bond. He only prayed that he could salvage some sort of working relationship with his mother after he explained everything and she got out of the bunny suit. Doc, Batty, please listen carefully. It's been me all along. I'm Dan.
SpongeBob, I'm starting to feel weird.
And that's really just blood going to a different place in your body, Patrick.
Oh, okay.
Addie knocked the breath out of him with a smothering kiss, crushing his smaller mouth with her full red lips. Her petite hands pulled his face deeper into the passionate kiss, even as her ample bosom rubbed against his naked chest. The ghost boy froze helplessly as the bunny girl poured all her love into the smooch.
Ghost boy.
The time stopped as Danny's sense of smell and taste exploded, Maddie's perfume and lipstick lighting up his senses. When his mom used her tongue, did time unfreeze? Danny screamed, a scream filled with horror, thrashing his muscles wildly.
Dr.
Fenton smiled as she pulled him deeper into the kiss, her inner self rejoicing and bunny ears bobbing. The next month was going to reveal so much. Initial intimacy a success. Now to move on to stage two. XXXXXXX. A month later, Dr. Maddie Fenton opened her home's front door, a grumpy and frumpy woman. She was wearing her typical blue jumpsuit, but it was smeared with grease and burns. There was even some smoke whisking off it. Mads, what happened to you? She looked at her worried husband and sighed, clearly exhausted. All my hard work and research, gone. On the very last day, Phantom escaped and wrecked the lab. Did he hurt you? Jack rushed over to her and quickly looked her up and down. The smoke.
Trench.
He melted my computers, she whined. Then he blasted off, leaving me to explain to my financiers that all the money and gear they supplied me with was wasted. I doubt I'll ever get a grant again. She saw.
Maybe she should look up Dr. Grant from Jurassic Park.
SpongeBob, what's Jurassic Park?
Jurassic Park was a movie, Patrick.
Oh, it's a movie.
Oh my God, this joke is so over.
What's over?
Nothing's over when you use your imagination.
Okay, enough.
Okay, I'm gonna go watch TV, SpongeBob.
It's a good thing I never liked the show in the first place.
Oh, fuck you, that show's good. I'm gonna go jerk off to fish porn.
I thought you were gonna look at rock porn.
Trench, please interrupt this madness.
She sobbed but stopped when her loving husband stroked her neck. Not your fault, Care Bear. Save your anger for the ghost boy. Maddie stopped her tears and smiled. Thanks, love. You always know how to make me feel better. That's my job, Mads. Jack grinned and showed his wedding ring, and I'll never forget it.
Except that time I lost it.
Maddie giggled like the weight of the world was off her shoulders. So how have you and Danny been handling the time without Mommy Dearest? Well, I've been pretty busy in the lab, and Danny has been quiet as a church mouse the whole time. With Jazz away on that out-of-state internship and Sam enrolled at that ladies' reform school and Tucker at space camp, Danny's been pretty much stuck in his room all summer. Still, it's nice that he hasn't caused any trouble at all. Boy hasn't made a peep. Maddie looked up the stairs. Danny, Mama's home. Come give me a hug. There was a long pause as their son timidly arrived at the stair top. He looked as frazzled and worn out as his mother, who he was looking at in a strange mix of fear and exhaustion. His clothes even looked loose, like he hadn't eaten in several weeks.
Oh, that's so strange.
Maddie couldn't even talk, shocked to her core how pale her little boy was. Dano, my boy, go get your mom's luggage from the RV. She's tired and needs a break, so help her out. The Fenton child nodded gloomily in that way that would drive the Manson girl hot and headed down the stairs to do as he ordered.
Hot and head?
Yes, apparently.
Maddie couldn't break her eyes away from her boy. He looked so fragile and weak, he couldn't even walk straight. He was just a pale shade of her normally energetic child. He needs a vacation from here, badly. He needs some quality time with his parents. Now, he's had way too much quality time with his parents. Some quality time with us would do him good, Jack agreed.
It's not good for a growing boy to be a shut-in, Maddie voice cracked with dread.
Maddie voice.
Yes, Maddie voice. How about it just be you, Mads? Jack scrunched his face in contemplation. Both of you need some quality time together with you being away so long. I think that would be a fine idea. I'll make the arrangements. Where would you like to go? There was a loud bash. They both looked at Danny and saw he had dropped Maddie's suitcase. He was frozen to the spot as its contents spilled out. Lingerie, bikinis, and fetish costumes were scattered everywhere. Tasty.
Yeah.
Jack and Maddie paid it no mind and went back to making vacation plans, leaving their son to clean up the mess.
Oh, that's worse. He's got to pick it.
That's fucking torture.
Especially if it's your mother.
Danny could not do that as he stared at the mountain of sexy outfits in abject horror. He shivered at the French maid uniform, froze at the Japanese schoolgirl fuku outfit, before finally passing out after seeing the cheerleader's costume. Jack and Maddie both chuckled. He really needs a vacation. Lots of X's.
Those two.
A week later had passed.
The kidney stone is the first part of that sentence that they left out.
Now it was Vlad Plasmius's turn in the ecto-containment unit that his enemy Danny Phantom had been caged in by his mother. There was no way Vlad could escape. There was no way Vlad could use his powers. He was completely at their mercy. And Vlad could not be happier.
Of course.
He found out what Maddie had been doing to the ghost boy not long ago and could not be more jealous. When he found out that she would be reattempting the experiments but with the mysterious Wisconsin ghost, Vlad did all he could to get captured.
Maybe I should try it again, but with the much more powerful ghost. Yeah, that sounds like good.
So Vlad sat in his cell with the goofiest grin ever seen. This was a dream come true, and he couldn't wait for the hands-on experiments to start. The door to the lab opened, and Vlad jumped to his feet, excited to see what sexy underwear she would be sporting. Sexy policewoman? Naughty school teacher? Or, dare he hope, a meek submissive bondage babe? Oh no, it was Jack, dressed as a Chippendales dancer!
Beautiful.
The tight black pants stretched to the max contain his girth.
There is not enough.
Has somebody
moves.
Drawn this? Has somebody drawn this? Because I think we need the counter to the
his flabby stomach dripped all over his waistline, and the white collar and bow tie were swallowed by neck fat.
I consume all.
Roy, finish up this story for us.
Oh,
let's start
thank
fresh.
God!
I actually don't mind reading because I'm strong.
Strong, independent Australian who don't need no Caucasian guy.
Mm-hmm. I'm doing my the neck head thing back and forth right now. Mm-hmm.
Little known fact, Australians do it opposite the way that people up north would do it.
I'm gonna fucking murder you.
Jack started the Chippendales dance and Vlad threw up in his mouth. The vomit kept him from screaming as the tubby scientist headed towards his cell by hip thrusts.
I love it. Every single time, the screams.
Pleasant.
I almost
screamed.
Did a spit take off my water. God damn it.
Just as Jack took off his pants.
Hot!
Actually, we recently had new people move in, so I hope I actually wasn't being too obnoxious there.
Yeah, you were.
You're sorry that you were reading terrible shit.
Oh, sorry, let me just explain exactly what I was doing.
Give them a detailed and in-depth explanation of exactly mm-hmm. what you were doing with quotes from the fanfic. I'm sure they'll
And
understand.
Then link them to us.
Just say you were passing
them
a
listen.
In the room outside the lab, Jack's computer woke up from sleep mode by the shriek's vibrations. The file on screen was the beautiful Maddie wearing a too tight one-piece blue swimsuit that looked like it was painted on. Jack, I am having a blast on this private island. Thank you for restarting my experiment and present the research to redeem my reputation. It's taken so much off my mind and leaves me free to enjoy my vacation. The video showed Danny in the background. His eyes were stuck on his mother's firm backside before he broke away and started crying. Maddie looked behind to check on her boy. Daddy's been pretty reclusive and not really opening up. I think he's attention starved, so I've been giving him as more affection to make him smile. I've made it my personal mission to hang on his side non-stop to make him feel appreciated and love. Present tense. I'll be sure to make him smile before we leave this tropical paradise, or I am not...
Dr. Maddie Fenton!
She struck a pose, causing her breasts to bounce, and spun on her long legs and opened her arms wide, her long spider-like legs, and opened her arms wide. Come give mommy a hug. Danny promptly passed out. XXXXXXX. The end. XXXXXX.
Oh, hey!
Check out DL Toon's gallery on DeviantArt to see Maddie in her bunny suit, and look at Grim Phantom's gallery to see Maddie in her blue swimsuit. Thank you both for making all your fantastic art. But in all seriousness, Cap turns backwards, sits on the chair. Let's get real. This story really was inspired by all the Lab Rat DP fanfics. DP, of course, it's the acronym. It just occurred to me that if Maddie knew that ghosts could sexually reproduce, she might really try something like this. All in the name of science, of course. She would never cheat on her husband with a lower life form. It was tough writing this. I went through three versions, even though it followed the same storyline. The first was a naughty lemon before I removed the explicit material as it would have constituted as porn. The second was dark dealing with the repercussions of child molestation. And the third and final one was more a comedy. I might publish the first two if I get enough positive feedback, but please, for the love of God, don't freak out. This is just a story. Kindly relax and enjoy the humor here.
Yeah.
If I get enough positive feedback, I might even release an extended edition showing what happened to Danny during his month with mommy.
This was actually more of a palate cleanser to the bad Lilo and Stitch one we read.
See,
like,
Trench, I told you, palate cleanser. I fucking said palate cleanser to Trench.
I said this one did not cause me physical, you know, levels of discomfort.
But the next one may.
What is the last thing you have lined up for
us? Oh, I found another one from the Mustard King. Tony, please get started.
I'll be right back. Big, Red, and Angry by the Mustard King. Big, Red, and Angry by the Mustard King. Author's note. I do not own the X-Men or Clifford the Big Red Dog. I wish I won a Big Red Dog, though. Chapter 1, Cerebrus Crisis. Professor X booted up Celebrex to check on the status of the mutant war with Magneto. Celebrex, for all of your celebratory examinatory needs. Charles was concerned that Magneto had potentially concerned... Okay.
Concerned that?
Maggot Magento.
Yes.
Magento.
No, Magento. He is Magento, which does fit because he does wear a lot of purple clothing. Had potentially stumbled onto his latest discovery. The most powerful mustn't born yet. He needed to make sure that Marganito was still in the dark before he made his move. Poor Professor X saw that Magneto was about to discover his secret. Professor X cast darkness with his mind powers, and suddenly Magneto couldn't see the secret. Professor X drove his electric hover thingy over to the intercom to call the X-Men. Did he really call it a fucking hover thingy?
Yes. And it's before Magneto gets cast magic into the darkness.
It's like one of those fucking, like, the disabled or fat people,
yes.
car things. In it's Wall-E? Just a hover thingy version of that.
Emzen! Emzen, I am calling you now, Professor X said with alarms. Suddenly, the X-Men theme started to play through the intercom. Don't get me coffee, Greg. I need something stapled here. File this. As the X-Men ran down the hall towards the... Because it's the intercom, you see.
Yep.
Ran down the hall towards Professor X's office. Cyclops, Storm, Nightcrawler, Jean Grey, Jubilee, Gambit, Rogue, and Santa Claus...
What?
Starring Tim Allen, all stood at attention. Wolverine was off taking maracas somewhere.
Why not?
What is it, what? X? Another dangerous mission for us? Observed Scott with observantness. Yes, the most dangerous one yet. I have discovered the most powerful mutant of all time so far. It is our job to go and recruit him to the good guys. Otherwise, the bad guys will get him and all will be lost. Conveyed Professor X with concerns. But doesn't the new guy already know wrong from right? Said Jubilee, looking underwaged. You know, if she had...
Underwaged?
Yeah, underwaged.
She's also underage, so she can't really be paid...
Well, you see, the problem is she lives out in California where the living wage versus what minimum wage is way... There's too much of a disparation there.
Yeah.
So sad. So sad.
I like the magenta picture. All right, keep going.
No, because this new guy... is a dog. Everyone gasped with surprise. Everyone?
Said that he like had sunglasses on and he took off. It's like, this new guy is a dog.
Yeah! A dog, one of these says no bien. Spat Gambit, who was eating some Cajun shrimp from Popeye's.
All right, next reader, Trench.
Just go to the chapter.
I think if Gambit was eating Cajun shrimp, he could do better than Popeyes. I can finish the chapter here. Their chicken is pretty good, and so are their biscuits. But the shrimp, why?
All right, fine.
Well, fine then.
What do we need a dog for? I like dogs, but only to eat. Said Nightcrawler. This big red dog is so powerful that anyone he licks becomes a mutant, and probably has more other powers I don't even know yet. Sighed Charles X. He rotated his hover chair to face the sunset, which was going down rapidly over the wall surrounding his mutant compound for gifted peoples.
I guess that makes it more dramatic.
Yes.
We need to get the dog here pronto. The fate of the entire world and all the mutants depends on it. I have temporarily blinded Magneto to this fact. Quite literally, chuckled the professor.
It's like just how tell me- in Team America, like the chair is just always moving.
Yep.
So he's always looking at he's always looking at the sunset.
Just tell me where he is, and we'll take the Blackbird to go get him faster than Roseanne can eat a country out of food, said Cyclops. That's a really dated reference, guys. I mean, come on.
Yep.
Cliff Seaford, the big red dog, was more than ready. He already knew the peoples were coming. He was excited.
I also like your reference.
Thank you.
All right, Trench, you're up for chapter two.
Chapter two, and then there was one. There can only be one. Scotty piloted the brown bird like a pro, swooping left and right, doing barrel rolls, and generally being a giant frat boy douchebag at the helm.
I like how he went from the Scotty, do a barrel roll.
Storm summoned a hurricane to get Scott to knock it off. Knock it off he did, but Storm forgot what she did, and that hurricane turned into Hurricane Katrina.
What?
Oh, God damn it. She would later go on Oprah to admit this, and was booted out of the league
yes.
superheroes forever. But that's a story for another day. Back to the actual story.
I like how he just goes and introduces a complete tangent and audibly says, "Back to the actual story."
No, but that's a story for another day. Assuming you like and subscribe.
He thinks that he is writing the never-ending story, because if you've ever read the never-ending story, that is another tale to be told at another time.
I've never read it. Scotty
landed the Firebird in the backyard of a nice suburban home. Hey, I've got one of those. A Firebird, not a nice suburban home. The home was big, red, and hairy, and had a normal-sized house sitting next to it.
No sitting. Where did that sitting come from?
Dog.
That's not a home at all. That's a freaking dog, said Rogue. She was kind of pissy today because her underwear shrunk in the wash thanks to Wolverine putting his mask in with her unmentionables and putting it on the Hodge setting. Wolverine liked his mask one way, tight. The wedgie that Rogue was experiencing was testament to his lack of tightness. The thong strap hooked tightly all the way down to Brown Town.
Oh my
god.
Fun fact, Browntown was the original name of Blighttown in Dark Souls.
Fun fact, Browntown is where everybody goes while playing
TV. I think we're not going to be able to fit that dog in the plane.
No. Read again.
It says, I think we're not going...
No.
Goning.
Yep.
Gonig. Be able to fit that dog in the plane, observed Beast, who is also with them, but I forgot to write it in earlier. So they brought Clifford, who welcomed them with many a dog kisses, a ticket to the 407 bus from Georgia to D.C., which is where the X-Men had to relocate after the tax laws for their previous zone become very stringent.
Why is it New York is only good for so long? After a while, you got to make some compromises.
He couldn't fit on a goddamn plane, so they put him on the motherfucking bus.
On it, yeah.
Clifford was put on the bus, but the bus driver was totally cool with it. X-Men trusted the bus driver with their big red doggy and hopped back in the Thunderbird.
Oh, God.
Soon after takeoff, the Silverhawk started experiencing unexpected turbulence.
Why does Google Docs think that's incorrect?
Because it's with an E, usually.
Ah, it is.
Turbulence.
Well, no, this is the turbulence.
Yeah.
Like Lance of Longinus.
Hey,
look, guys, it's the Silverhawk with his turbulence come to save us.
Hey, Choco Lady, could you please help the weather here, said Wolverine. And he's suddenly here now.
No, he was, yeah.
He was off shaking maracas earlier. Yeah. That's racism, and I don't have to take it. But I don't want the rest of them to die, so I'll do it anyway, said Storm. Storm tried to summon away the bad clouds and stuff.
Anti-summon.
Yeah. She discovered that Clifford's doggy kisses had removed all of their powers. The only one who still had their powers was Professor X, because he wasn't with them at the time. Also, all of the bad guys still had their powers. X-Men, come in, yelled the professor over the radio. I just discovered that the dog's saliva can also remove a mutant's powers, possibly permanently. Yeah, we found out the hard way, Dustwalker commented. They landed the Superbird and walked into the compound, dejected and eagerly awaiting their big red blame machine to arrive and possibly give their powers back. The bus driver then took off his mask, and it was Magneto!
I have to request that David read the next paragraph.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
The next chapter?
It's not a chapter.
Which chapter?
Charter 3.
Okay, I see it. Okay. Charter 3. They call it puppy love.
Puppy love.
Okay. Let me paint you a scene, Tony. Gambit and Rogue went to Rogue's room because Gambit's room always smelled like fish fry.
Okay, I'm with you so far.
Rogue put on the radio. Bruno Mars came on. She turned the radio off by throwing it against the wall.
Okay, I'm in again.
That's acceptable.
Come on, Marcel. Let us try to...
This is Creole.
Come on, Marcel. Let me... God damn it. Come on, Marcel. Let us at least try to enjoy some time together before we go back to having the responsibilities of mutant powers on our shoulder. Let us do what the Romans do to become one, that sort of thing, breathed Gambit with a mouthful of Twizzlers.
I've been waiting for this moment for all my life.
Because Twizzlers add that just extra spice to...
No, you see, if this were a day ago, I would actually have Twizzlers to like simulate that.
Really?
Twizzlers. Come on, baby. Dude, I went to Joanne's Fabrics with the lady, and she was like, hey, look at that fucking thing of Dr. Pepper Twizzlers. And I got that fucking thing of Dr. Pepper Twizzlers. They suck, by the way.
I'm not surprised. They were probably there for a long time.
I was excited for a minute, and you dashed that.
They also had Orange Crush, which were slightly better. Well, I have been waiting for this moment for all my life, replied Rogue. Let us Roman do. Gambit turned down the lights and blocked all of Professor X's hidden cameras. He failed to block Jubilees, and that would come back later to haunt them both gravely when they started their baseball career. They held each other close and embraced the warmest embrace they had ever had. Gambit's depends were leaking, apparently. Gambit began to undo Rogue's blouse buttons. One flew off and spacked Spider-Man, who had been peeping in on them until now, squarely in the eye. Except
Peeper
that
Parker.
He wouldn't exist in this because Square and Sony don't get along.
Square?
Square Enix, they do thing.
No, I'm with you. That, they do get along fairly well. I mean, where else are they going to re-release Final Fantasy VII seven times?
Exactly. That made him immediately come and flee away to his spider cave to cry the tears of utter joy. Just as Gambit got to Rogue's blouse, she stopped him. Before even saying a word, Gambit tore the thing clean off and threw it in the incinerator.
She has an incinerator in her room?
Why not?
You don't?
Well, we're going with all new clothes, Gambit said, failing to sound like Doc Brown. Gambit began having a massive trouble. Shit, that's not how it said. Gambit began having massive trouble taking off Garogue's underlings. They were caught almost fused with her big brown spider in Weedy Pink Playground.
I don't know where they end and I begin anymore,
Rogue said. They rolled with this and just decided to leave things as they were. If tear, is it tearing or
tearing? Tearing.
If tearing were to happen, they would let it happen. Gambit immediately went into the back door, sans Lou, because he was a man's man with a man's plan. Rogue was not ready for this. Not only did some tearing happen, all of the tearing happened.
Tear all of the things!
Prepared for
Gambit
this.
Gambit didn't stop, though, as it felt too good in her rarely traversed alternate canal to care.
Now,
the canal
you're wish. Right. I'm affecting him.
She got. She enjoyed it, too, because she got off on what he was getting off to.
To what it was.
He was getting off, too. This turned into a feedback loop of getting offitude that had potential to grow so powerful it could cause Kasui, a black hole, to appear. It did not, thankfully, and we're all around as a result.
Oh, thank God.
Gambit's Bacharach shaft. What?
Playing Bacharach.
Hold on. Let me read that again, just in case you missed it. Gambit's Bacharach shaft began sliding smoothly in and out of the lady's dungeon hole. Before long, the Gambit was close to climax.
Oh, you got to roll initiative for that.
He was about... Okay, hold on. 11. I got a +3 modifier for dexterity, so 14. How did I do?
Okay, you failed to hit the clitoris.
Shit. But that's okay, because it's about me.
But the miss effect, you do manage to cause 3 plus charisma modifier damage.
Well, he is doing it at the butt, so it's...
If her clit were that big, far. It would be a dong.
Yeah, I've seen some anime porn that starts that way.
All right, let's keep going.
As he was about to come, Clifford barreled through the door, now shrunk into a much more manageable size somehow. Gambit was so surprised by this that he stumbled, pulled out, and came right on the dog's face.
What?
Clifford licked it all up. It was delicious.
Did the author sample it too?
Oh God, I hate spice jokes.
Professor you don't have X time finished for your hate of spice jokes.
Professor X finished cumin too. Since he still had his powers, he was telewatching them on his brain screen. Somewhere in the universe, Yoda wept meekly.
So that sounds like the old Spice Guy. Since I still had my powers, I was telewatching them on my brain screen.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Do I do chapter 3, part 2?
No. This is chapter, a charger.
Whoever wants to read the last one.
Oh, I want to.
Okay, that's fine. I was going to go if nobody else wanted to.
Chapter 3, where no man's best friend has gone before. The next day, nothing really happened. The day after that, though lots of things happened, Professor X called another meeting with the Super Friends.
What? Dude, I love the Super Friends.
This is the crossover.
I don't think DC is going
of.
To approve this.
Meanwhile, is it bad that I'm actually like playing Injustice Gods Among Us right now?
Meanwhile, not at all. Justice. X-Men, I have figured it out. Clifford's powers, sapping powers, drained your powers, but he can transfer them back by licking as well. Everyone eventually heard about what happened after Gambit and Rogue did it, and this was not what they wanted to hear, especially Flanders.
No, Sir Diddly.
The Simpsons are in on it now, too.
It's Simpsons did it. It's all Simpsons. All ties back. Mm-hmm.
Clifford approached them all, and they all backed away, disgusted. It's the only way, screamed X. Suddenly, Magneto burst through the wall. Ha ha! I have broken your darkness powers, and now I will steal this dog away, and with it all of your hopes to get your powers back. Welcome to die! Magneto screamed like teenage girl at a Justin Bieber concerto.
So he was driving the bus while he was blind.
Yes.
That's impressive. A lot.
That's impressive.
He didn't hear my roommate said he's like, oh, so he became Matt Murdock?
Read again.
I'm sorry. Magento picked the dog up.
Wow, that's really hard.
Magnetically.
By his metal rabies tag and pulled him towards him. Coincidentally, Scrooge McDuck's money fault had been positioned nearby, and Magneto caught enough residual metal from the nickels and dimes that he could finally afford those pectoral implants he always wanted.
There's a much cheaper way. Just get Rob Liefeld to draw you and Pexabound.
Liefeld. Just as Magneto was about to escape, Clifford let out a shrieking howl. He opened his mouth to reveal a pool of light starting to form around his uvula. What is this? Magneto screamed in alarm. Just as the light became too intense to look directly, Clifford Hadoukened a Twinkie made out of solid obsidian directly at Magneto's baby maker.
Why is baby maker the word of the day?
I love it.
The crunch was louder than 1,000 Doritos being eaten all at once in a really big microphone. Clifford descended back to the ground like an angel from heaven and gave them all licks to get their powers back. Then the camera panned to a dark alley. Don't worry. Enjoy your peace for now. For soon, I will reveal myself, and the world as you know it will change. A big blue dog laughed into the night, leaving a clue behind for his team to discover.
As soon as I saw Big Blue, I was gonna say Blue's Clues, but it actually is fucking Blue's Clues.
I know.
Yep.
The end.
I'm in tears right now. Oh my god.
Okay, this one was legitimately beautiful. Funny. That was great.
This one was beautiful.
What? And the Danny Phantom one wasn't funny. That was totally a comedy.
They were all funny. This one was beautiful.
It is. It was truly a thing of
the
beauty.
The Lilo and Stitch one was just completely extraordinarily just...
Wrong.
I'm glad we got the wrong one
out of the way.
Yeah, it's true.
Because
we saved the first, we were strong, and we got through it. And
I really think...
I wasn't there, Tony.
But I really think that Lil Link likes Lil Link was what really like got us onto the path strongly.
I missed out on so much.
No.
We have podcasts. You can go back.
And, we have podcasts.
Yes. We have podcasts. So you can always go back and re-listen to them over and over and over.
I'm very perplexed about, like, okay, how many different at the beginning of Big Red and Angry, it just mentions X-Men and Clifford the Big Red Dog. How many other fucking franchises were eventually mentioned in the story?
17.
First and foremost, Roy was just bullshitting. And second, okay. Roy actually has a chip in the back of his head that tracks every pop culture reference when and ever and wherever it appears.
Oh. It's his Australian racial ability.
Yeah, you know, like drow elves have night vision, that sort of thing.
Oh man, after this
he also has a racial proficiency in knife.
Anyways, thank you all for joining Friday Night Fan Fiction. Tony and Trench, and Tony, I'm sorry you showed up late, but I'm glad you made it, buddy. Thank you to all of our regular readers and special guests. Thank you, Dave, Roy, Splee, Referee Val, Dave, Roy.
I'm a Dave.
Hey.
I'm Tony.
Trench, Tony.
I'm Tony.
Dave.
I'm Referee.
Hello. I'm Spartacus.
Splee. Dave.
No, no, I'm Patrick.
I've got mentioned four times.
And we'll see you all next Monday when...
Devo's trapped in a loop.
Next Monday.
We'll see you next time. Same Friday night fanfiction time. Same Friday night fanfiction link at vgm.nighthousemedia.com.
Dave.
SoundCloud.
Dave and Dave. And Dave.
And on Patreon.
Seven mentions.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanFiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Mucho Gusto Los Medanos by the Towson State University Jazz Ensemble. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.